In the name of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, your fellow redeemed. When I was a boy, one of the things my dad liked to do was take the whole family on trips across the United States. Typically, he'd do a bunch of research, he'd figure out where we're going to stay and what places he wanted us to see. And then as we traveled these different locations, he'd say, "Look, there's the United States Capitol." Or, "Look, it's the Empire State Building." Or, "Have you ever seen anything like the Grand Canyon before?" Or, "Look, we're in the Redwood National Park." You know, as I think back on that, I think my dad really enjoyed showing all of us four boys all those things as much as he enjoyed seeing them with his own eyes. It was kind of like his mission in life was to share with his loved ones these sights that we had never seen before. 2,000 years ago, there was another man who also had a similar mission. He wanted to point out to people things that they had never seen before. He wanted to say, "Look, Jesus, the Lamb of God." You realize that John the Baptist was pointing Jesus out to more than just the people of his day. He was also talking to you and me. Today in the pages of Scripture, John the Baptist in effect says, "Look, the Lamb of God." Today we want to take a little closer look at those words. And as we do, we will first consider John's mission in life, and then Jesus' mission in life, and finally our mission in life. First, John's mission in life. If you think about it, those five words, "Look, the Lamb of God," is basically what God called John to do. It was his mission, his goal was to point people to Jesus. Even though John had a thriving ministry of his own, even though, as Mark says, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, even though John had his own disciples, he still realized that there was somebody much more important to point to. He told the people of his day, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, don't misunderstand those words. John is not saying that, you know, his baptism was ineffective or that plain water baptism doesn't give you the Holy Spirit. It does. What John is doing is pointing ahead to that day of Pentecost, when Jesus would pour out his Spirit in a very dramatic, a very miraculous way. John's point here is simply this: when compared to the guy who's coming behind me, I'm not the main event. I'm like the warm-up act. I'm here to prepare people for the one to come. In fact, he puts it this way: "The man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." That's a reference to the fact that Jesus, as the Son of God, has been here forever. He's eternal. Now, do you think that John knew all that about Jesus? You think that John realized that his, you know, shoestring cousin, remember, Mary and Elizabeth were related. You think John realized that this kid that he used to play with as a boy was really the Son of God? Well, maybe not. I mean, twice here, John says, I didn't know him until the Holy Spirit came down on him. Isn't that what John says? Tells his people, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's why John goes on to say, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. In other words, even though John undoubtedly recognized there was something special about this Jesus, I mean, how many 12-year-olds spend 3 days playing Stump the Rabbi in the Jerusalem temple? Even though John probably heard about the angelic announcement of Jesus' birth, even though he probably knew the Old Testament passages that talked about the coming Messiah, still, he says he didn't really realize who Jesus really was until the Spirit ID'd him. Right? When God told John, listen, when the dove comes down on somebody's head, that's the guy. Well, that's what led John to say what he did. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You might say that those words were a fulfillment of John's mission to point people to Jesus. But those same words also highlight Jesus' mission. Now, if you think about it, probably you realize that a lot of the people back in Jesus' day didn't really understand what the mission of the Messiah was, right? People probably expected, well, he'll make our lives so much better, right? I mean, to have somebody who can, like, produce a meal for thousands of people at the drop of a hat, that'd be pretty neat. Or we expect Jesus to heal our diseases so we can have our lives extended, so we can walk again. Others probably expected Jesus, maybe the Pharisees expected him to, like, commend them for being such law-abiding citizens, reward them for doing such good things. And others probably expected him to kick out the Romans and make Israel great again. Maybe they had little hats. M-I-G-A, I don't know. You realize things haven't changed that much in 2,000 years. People still have a lot of ideas about what they want God to do for them. God, make my life easier. God, cure my cancer. God, fix my marriage. God, make our government better. Now realize, God can and sometimes does do all those things. So it's okay to ask. But recognize that none of those things are our greatest need. It's not our marriage. It's not our health. It's not our government that is bad. It's you and me that are bad. That's our greatest problem. Is that we can't stop sinning. We're all rebels against God, and we prove it every day. We think in terms of what's in it for me. I want to do what I want to do. And even when we don't want to do it, we still do it. And our conscience tells us that that sin that is part of who we are by nature, that condition that we have, that we just can't get off of ourselves, that will separate us from God if left to ourselves. It's like St. Paul once said, who will rescue me from this body of death? Fortunately, God has an answer. A solution. And it's simply this. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You think about how much God packed into that one statement. Look, the Lamb of God. Anybody that knew anything in the Old Testament realized they would be thinking, oh, the Passover Lamb, right? The one whose blood spread on the doorpost would rescue people from death as they came out of Egypt. People would think about the prophet Isaiah who spoke about the coming Messiah. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Or think about all the thousands of lambs that were sacrificed to make atonement for the sins of the people in Israel. And yet every one of those lambs was a sacrifice offered up by a human. This lamb, the Lamb of God, was offered up by God, was offered up as God, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And what was that lamb offered up to do? John says, he would take away the sin of the world. In the original language, that word take away kind of has two different definitions. One, it means to carry or to bear. It's the idea that Jesus took on our sins and carried them all the way to the cross. Is that what Scripture says? He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. But that same word also means something like to carry away, to get rid of, to expunge from our record. As the psalmist said, as far as east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And exactly whose transgressions did he take away? Did Jesus die for all good people? Did he die for people who turn their lives over to Jesus? Who do their best to clean up their act? No. He died for the sin of the world. You realize that's like the most important word in this whole statement. Why do I say that? Because that's the word that guarantees that Jesus took your sins away. No matter how bad they are, no matter how many times you did the same thing, here's the comfort. I mean, you think about it. What if John the Baptist would have said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of good people. I don't think that applies to me. What if John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Lutherans. What does that mean? I mean, Luther was the one who said, hey, if the Bible were to say Jesus died for Martin Luther, I wouldn't know if I'm the Martin Luther he's talking about. But the Bible says Jesus died for sinners, and I know I'm one of those. Same thing here. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world, you and I are included. You realize that's great news. That is news that every human being needs to hear. In fact, it's news that every human being deep down in their heart of heart wants to hear. Every human being wants to know, where do I stand with God? I mean, what is God, who knows everything I do, going to do with my failures, my flaws? What will happen? How do I know? You have the perfect answer. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or to put it another way, because John carried out his mission to point people to Jesus, and because Jesus carried out his mission to take away the sins of the world, now God has equipped us to carry out our mission, and that's sharing that good news with others. Isn't that what John the Baptist did? When he sees Jesus coming, he tells his disciples, look, the Lamb of God, implying, go follow him. And so they do. They spend that whole day with Jesus. They learn from him. But they can't keep to themselves what they just found out. Right? What do we read? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Isn't that still how it works today? I mean, when you hear some really good news, you want to share it. Well, God has given us the best news of all. The most heartwarming, peace-giving, soul-saving message. The question is, in your life, if you're Andrew, who is your Simon Peter? Who can you not wait to tell? Who's that person who is struggling in life and doesn't really know what the purpose of her life is? Who's trying to figure out how to make sense of things? Who wonders, what's the point? What will happen when I die? You've got the answer. Can you go to that person and share some good news? In fact, I got an idea for you. 5 weeks from today, Mount Olive is going to celebrate something called Festival of Friendship. It'll be a service designed exactly for your Simon Peter. A chance to invite your brother, your coworker, your friend to come and meet their best friend, Jesus. Start thinking and praying about who your Simon Peter is. The bottom line is this: by God's grace, he has allowed us to see that Jesus has carried out his mission to take away the sins of the world. And in so doing, he has given us our mission to share that message with others. A simple message that John said 2,000 years ago, namely, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May that message bring peace to your heart and an invitation on your lips. In Jesus' name, amen.